You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Welcome to the August 7th KoopaCast.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's been longer than 2 weeks since the last one. I don't know why. I think it's just my life.
I wasn't here for the last one, so it's definitely one. Like,
joined by some fine gentlemen here. I'm going to start and see what question I was going to ask. I had this epic question I was going to ask. I don't remember what it was.
Oh.
Then we'll just move on to my next question, and you just said the question. How are you guys enjoying Pikmin 3? And we'll start with Alex.
Well, I just bought it, so I don't
That's
know
true.
How I'm enjoying it. But I'm
what
pretty sure
of,
I'm going
what
to
do you
be enjoying
it. What do you think of the box art?
I really like it. I always like that kind of like the claymation kind of stuff that they've been doing with the box art for Pikmin 3. I don't know, there's something about it. It's just kind of like surreal and really quirky. I was happy with my manual, though, because it was more than one page. So that was cool. You know, there's a little bit of artwork in there. So I was happy with that. So I'm really excited to play it tonight.
Okay, Money.
Well, seeing how I gave the game a 10 in my review, I have to say that I'm enjoying the game very much. Getting further into the game, though, there's like a ton of stuff to do. And I guess that's pretty typical for a Pikmin game, but it looks amazing, and it plays really well. I really still haven't gotten used to the gamepad controls. I still find them kind of difficult to use, but the Wii Remote works really well, and I'm enjoying it a lot.
Justin? Oh, I've been having lots of fun with it. I actually am in the opposite of J-Money. I kind of have used the gamepad almost exclusively so far. But it wasn't necessarily by choice. I was, I think I was playing while Katie was watching TV or something. So I was like, oh, I can't wait to play, so I'm just going to play it on the gamepad. So I just did off-TV play. And it was a lot of fun. It is interesting to get used to aiming with it, aiming with the left joystick. But it's pretty cool. I like how you can go back and forth between the map pretty easily, even in off TV play. So it's been pretty fun so far.
Mr. Tristan.
Well, my buddy came over and brought Shaq Fu over for the Super Nintendo. I don't know, guys. I mean, if you played that game, I mean, it kind of blows Pikmin 3 out of the water a little
bit. It was a pretty awesome game.
Yeah, I know, right? With Shaq Quito. All right, but in all seriousness, I'm absolutely loving the game. I really like how the story begins and all, but one of the features that blew me away was the snapshot feature, how you can actually take in-game pictures and that they're in really good quality. And as we saw in like the whole Nintendo Direct thing today, that they're wanting to incorporate that more into getting everyone involved in it.
I'm really excited about that, actually. I want to flood Miiverse with like really stupid photos.
It's actually a really cool feature. I enjoyed using the gamepad as a camera like that.
Yeah. Question? Did anyone who used the gamepad have this problem? Because I keep having it. Whenever I'm fighting some enemies, I'm just chucking Pikmin like crazy. I don't know if it's the way, like, I know it's not my thumb slipping on the B button, but for sometimes, I think it's just because how close they are. Sometimes it'll dismiss all my Pikmin randomly in battle or something.
That would suck.
Yeah.
I haven't had that happen yet. But.
I guess I just spoke.
I think your Pikmin morale is a little low.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah. We're in the middle of that first boss battle, and then they just, oh, okay, I'm done. I don't care anymore.
They're going to form a workers' union.
The first boss is brutal.
And that's what I love about the Pikmin game. I've never played a Pikmin game before. But, like, what I enjoy about it is that the Pikmin have personality. Like, if you're trying to build a bridge, pick up all the pieces, and you throw 20 Pikmin, and that 21st one you throw, he gets there and he goes, oh, there's something for me. And you can kind of see that he's depressed. He's like, well, disappointed. Yeah, it's something for me. And he kind of hangs his head down and you call him back. I'm like, that's actually really cool that they all have like personalities. They get upset or they are scared and they're lost.
That kind of adds to it too, because then you become attached to them.
Oh, so no.
If you fight that one monster that like destroys half of your team, you're like, oh, God, no.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, where's Eli when we need him? When we're recording Pikmin footage, and he just drowns all of his Pikmin.
Well, Eli has no heart.
Or there was that one.
He sort of didn't know, or he was like.
He had the army of yellow Pikmin. There was one. No, he had the army of blue Pikmin. There was one yellow Pikmin, and he's about to run the water. Like, Eli, stop, man! You gotta get him out. He goes, "Nah, I'm just gonna drown him." Just walks.
It's like too late.
Yeah.
Right, well, today was a Nintendo Direct. We have another one on Friday covering the 104-101. But like, anything stand out to you guys from today's?
Link Between Worlds. I love seeing more of it, and I don't know about if you guys noticed it. I was hoping he'd go more in detail about the Darker Triforce because I was thinking. Power, wisdom, and courage make up the Triforce. What if the negative one was like fear, sorrow, and hatred, or something like that makes up the negative side? But also, if you notice, it's a brand new Link, so it's not the same one from Link to the Past. But I noticed around his bracelet had a purple gem. Same thing with the little drawing on the wall, and that could reflect possibly his drawing, his stick to the wall abilities, or that little purple meter on the bottom left. That's for what seems to be his bombs and magic and such.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny that you mentioned different properties to the Dark Triforce, because I thought that's what they were going to start saying during the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, they're like, hey, this is the Dark Triforce, and he mentioned the Triforce means wisdom, courage, power, and so I thought he was going to be like, and the Dark One.
Yeah. But I can't remember who it was when we were in L.A. Someone said, hey, guys, do you remember that Demise had the inverted Triforce on his sword as well, the upside down one?
I remember noticing when they debuted the art at E3, I remember thinking, I was like, that's very deliberate. It's not just a shadow.
Yeah.
The Triforce, it's a deliberate, pop out, stand out, individual thing. So
it was like a doppelganger. Even it was a Dark Master sword as well, pretty much, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Two sides of the same coin. It only makes sense. Light and darkness.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting.
Anything else stand out to you guys? That's the only thing that kind of really jumped out to me was like, well, that's cool information. Everything else was kind of...
I was actually impressed with Art Academy and what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
Because I see these nice drawings, and later on they're going to release a game that's going to be like more in-depth lessons into it, which that actually seems pretty interesting to me. I doubt I can draw that. I'll be able to draw that well, but I mean... Why are you laughing at me? Are you laughing at me?
No, I just saw you score for Turbo. I don't think there's ever been that low of a score on your Nintendo.com. I think I've given something a 4 before.
Well, I'm glad I was the first.
Snails?
Well, if you want me to go on that rant, I'll go down that path, but I don't think you want me to.
No,
it's
okay, Tristan.
Yeah.
Well, so getting back on topic, I was actually pretty excited that they announced that Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright is going to be coming to America.
Yeah.
I just started playing the Professor Layton series, and like I immediately fell in love with it, so now I want to get as much of that stuff as I can. So
I need that.
But which one are you on right now, Alex?
I'm playing Miracle Mask. I got that one for free when I registered Luigi's Mansion and 3DS XL. Uh-huh. So it's been sitting there waiting to be played, and I finally picked it up. And I was like, oh, my God, this is addicting. I like this.
Yeah. Have you played any of the original ones, the other ones?
No, so that's what I got to do next is I got to start playing the ones on the DS and
They're pretty incredible. I started playing them, and then Katie got into them. She loves them, so she was excited about the new one.
Yeah. This is one of those things I was really surprised about how much I really enjoyed all the characters. Like, yeah. That's my favorite part. The puzzles are fun, but I don't know. It's a different type of story. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, you should watch the movie. They actually did an animated movie for Professor Layton. Nice.
Oh, man.
And it's really good. I love their animation. It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say, I've never played them, but I absolutely love the soundtrack. That's one thing that really stuck out to me.
Yes.
Yeah, the music is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Very French. Very French.
Yep. Very French. Mm-hmm.
I dig it.
And I'm not so excited about Pokemon Rumble U, but I'm glad that they used the NFC capabilities of the gamepad.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And the NFC figures look pretty cool. I like how they crafted them, like they look like gems almost, you know? Right. They're kind of rock-looking, and they look pretty fun. I'll probably get them just to have them on display or something.
I want all the little buggers, not just like a select few.
I know, because they said like 20 of them or something.
Yeah, it's like, I want to be able to collect my favorites.
Yeah.
But they're also GameStop exclusives, so.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to kind of gauge the how well they do, how well the figures sell. I could see them. And part of the weird thing is Pokemon Rumble U, it's coming out a month and a half, 2 months before X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have any of the Pokemon from X and Y. So it's like, it makes me wonder, is there going to be some sort of a new Pokemon Stadium or other, maybe an update to Pokemon Rumble U that adds all the new X and Y Pokemon in?
Pokemon Snap.
DLC.
Yeah, they could easily do DLC with it, but.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think with Pikmin 3, with that snapshot thing, I think we could easily have a Pokemon Snap game. I'm just saying, guys.
Yeah. Oh,
that needs to happen.
Yeah, that would be cool. And then they could keep releasing like legendaries in the little the NFC. Mm-hmm. I would love just to have like, I don't know, whatever the new Xerneas and Yveltal or something like that.
I want a Togekiss one. Togekiss is my favorite.
Yeah.
It's so disgustingly adorable but powerful.
You would get a Togekiss, you would.
I would.
I'm still first generation Pokemon. I don't think I know any other Pokemon past it.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Mr. Gen 1-er.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm sorry, what was that?
Mr. Gen 1-er.
Yeah, that's right. I found my first generation Pokemon cards cleaning out the house. That's right.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're worth anything, but
probably not.
Yeah. You know, the big news had it all focused around Animal Crossing.
Mm.
They announced the Animal Crossing Plaza, which basically takes the Miiverse that they also announced. The Miiverse, what are they called? Groups?
Communities.
Communities, and kind of just makes into the Plaza form. I think it's kind of cool. I don't know how often I would go in there. But you can share QR cards, messages, pictures, whatever.
I think that's actually going to attract a lot of people that that play the game, because I like to go on, like, there's like one website, Animal Crossing Community. It's a whole group of people, and that's all you do on there is like you trade, you know, different items and stuff. So I think it's nice that Nintendo has their own little forum now for people to come together and kind of share all the stuff that they're doing in Animal Crossing. Because there's definitely a need and a want for it. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of sad it's only going to be around for like maybe like a year, and then they said they were going to discontinue it.
Yeah, like a year and a half?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that means there will be a Wii U game coming out around that time.
That was my first thought.
Or at least something to... Because I imagine they won't get rid of it completely. Maybe they're just keeping it until something else happens. Maybe they'll come out with a... Animal Crossing Plaza app or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool if they could, you know, just have this, you know, pretty much a port, you know, kind of like how they did Monster Hunter. You could continue the game wherever you're going. So you can do whatever you do in Animal Crossing, which I think is find bells and fossils and turnips, apparently. I never played
it. That's a lot more fun.
But now
than
you
it
can
sounds.
Do it in HD, Tristan.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know turnips can rot. I had turnips.
Yeah.
I was hiding turnips like a week and a half, and then finally prices went up. I was like, yes! And I pulled it down, and it's like rotten turnip. I was like,
oh, that's how you, that's how you catch the ant and fly in your town. If you leave it outside, little ants will crawl over it, and then you can catch them with your net.
So, like, if all the turnips rot, does that mean the stock market crashed or what?
The stock market rotted.
Because
money is the root of all evil.
God!
The love of
Alex. Alex, I'm going to find you and I'm going to punch you in the face.
Come at me, bro.
I was a little disappointed that they didn't mention the summer Wii U update. Because remember they talked about there were going to be two big updates, you know, back in January or whatever. They're like, hey, there's going to be two big updates, one around spring and then one in the summer. And the spring one came, made things quicker. But then there was another update, and they've just casually forgotten, or...
Do you think they might mention it on Friday during the Wonderful 101?
Whatever. I don't know. It seemed like today would have been the better venue for it.
Right.
But I don't know, maybe... I mean, how long does summer last? I mean, summer goes all the way until...
End of August.
Summer is forever, Justin.
Yeah.
Never-ending summer.
September? Is it like middle of September that fall starts?
Sure.
So I guess they could still technically do a Nintendo Direct in September and be like, hey, here's the update.
Or even
just a press release if they wanted.
But who's summer? Our summer? What if it's New Zealand summer? Because then if that's the case, we got another year to go, guys. There's winter.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I hopefully there's another update. I mean, the UI is a lot quicker now, the menu, but...
Maybe it'll be a good notification system.
Yeah. They've been doing some really consistent updates on the 3DS, which is exciting. Like, they have the save backups. They've got, you know, the new Street Pass stuff. So I'm hoping Wii U gets some update love. So
I'm excited for that Street Pass thing. I don't know if anybody else is pumped for that, but especially because I live in a smaller community.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot easier for me to get Street Pass, so I'm excited. Yep. I'm sorry for cutting you off, Justin.
No.
I was going to say it would be great if they did the folder thing that they do in the 3DS on the Wii U, because I have this like bad OCD habit where I'm like, okay, got to get all my virtual console games together, all my downloaded games together, but I'm getting to the point where there's going to be just one like virtual console game and the rest of the other apps just in one screen, and I don't know why it feels like it. Again, inner OCD is just going to bug me about that. Like, I like the organization with the folders. And it's so bad.
I'm the same way.
Folders would be a good update. Sorry, JMO.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do the same thing. I have, like, one screen that has all my digital titles, and then the other screen has all my virtual console, another screen has all my apps.
Yeah. I hear you.
So let's move on to our feature topic. Should we consider video games as art? And I have to be honest with you, I'm a little bit nervous about this. So I've gone through a whole day of, I don't know, changing my thought about what is art. Oh, it's been an emotional roller coaster. I've been back and forth all day. I have pages of notes, and I still don't know exactly where I stand on this, on this exact topic of video games as art.
Don't feel bad, though. I had to answer the question, what is art, for art appreciation.
Well, that's what confused me, because I started searching, like, what is art? And I'm like,
nobody knows
like
what art
80
is.
Different, yeah, it's like, even Plato, Socrates talk about it. I'm just like...
Oh, man, you're going hardcore.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm going to start, to be honest with you. I've got definitions of art. Let's start there. According to the Oxford Dictionary, art is the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in visual forms such as painting, sculpture, etc., etc., etc. According to the Webster Dictionary, art is the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in visual forms such as painting, sculpture, etc., etc. According to the freedictionary.com, I didn't even know there was such a thing. Human effort. Art is the human effort to imitate, sublimate, alter, or contradict the work of nature, which I think is what Plato believes art is. There's three different. What to you guys? What is art?
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
I'm impressed, though. You came very well prepared.
I told you I searched myself.
It's all personal opinion. It really is when it boils down to it. You know, you can either if you're talking to one person or an entire group, it's just. I know one thing in my English class once. It was I was told that I didn't believe in lost art. Of course, I didn't know what that was. And lost art's like this. It's art right there.
Apparently, that's what it is. Though.
Like a wadded up piece of paper. I don't see it as some art, and of course not. I don't. But I do understand that there are some things that do need that representation. But then there's some things that I just don't see it as such. I do see that there is an artistic representation in, let's say, music, or maybe an art piece, or literature, or, and of course, I did say music. I do feel like, for video games, it is an art form. It is an expression of someone. No matter what, it is another medium of storytelling. Whether you're playing, you know, just a regular Super Mario game, even the first one, as simple as it is, there is still a story about a plumber going to go save a princess from some giant dinosaur. Or if you're playing something like Bioshock Infinite or The Last of Us, where there's a bit of more in-depth story with twists and turns. Either way, both of them are what to me would be considered, yeah, a bit of an art form. But in the end, the fact that, no, there's still a video game does kind of overpower that because I kind of like gameplay over that. But it goes both ways, really. Also, art is so dangerously close that if you put an F in front of it, it says art.
One.
Art
is entirely subjective. What's art to one person isn't going to be art to another person.
Exactly.
That's what to you is art? Like, when you look at something, what makes it art to you?
I look at myself in the mirror every day, and I say, what a beautiful face and sculpture.
Yeah! And I guess I wasn't entirely prepared to be asked to define art.
Yeah, is this gonna break us, guys?
it just might.
Maybe we should stop, or you know, while we're still friends.
Yeah,
we're gonna leave.
Like to me, art is supposed to be created with the intention of making the person who experiences feel something, or to deliver some kind of message. Like there has to be some kind of point to that, and I think video games can fall into that category. As far as the story or even the gameplay. Even the gameplay, if it's done well, you know, the person who created it is trying to get you to feel this sort of emotion through the gameplay by putting yourself within the character's shoes. So I think in that way it can qualify as art, in my personal definition of it.
Well, and if you think of all art forms like music and writing and film or whatever, all these forms of art are pretty old, and video games as a medium is still really, really young. It's only been around for, you know, 20, 30 years. So this person who was quoted, I think, in Roger Ebert's article, Video Games as Art or whatever, he said, and I lost it, that there isn't a video gamer alive today that's going to see video games as an art medium. It's that young that even if it is an art form, video gamers today aren't going to be able to experience video games as art because it still has a lot of growth ahead of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you can consider books and movies art, eventually video games will get to that point as being considered art by the general society or public. But it's almost like, you know, if you can say a book is art or writing or literature or music, if you take one note or one page from a book or a song, it's not really art by itself. That's why, you know, kind of like a video game, you have a painting, you can look at the whole thing right there. You can see everything about the painting. You can digest it. You can see what it means to you. It may mean something to someone else. But I think video games, books, and movies are kind of more similar because you kind of have to take it as a whole. And you may not be able to experience it all at once. You got to read the whole book, and then you're like, okay, yeah, that was really good. You got to see the whole movie to be able to determine you know, if it was art or not. I mean, you got to play the whole video game, you know, to experience it. So I think by that definition that James mentioned, I mean, you just go by that definition, and absolutely video games are art because it's, you know, an expression of, you know, human expression. And one thing I think is interesting is, you know, kind of Plato was talking about art was something that we can't see in nature or something like that. It's an expression of something we can't see. Sometimes when I consider something art, it's art simply because I know I couldn't do that myself. Like if you go to an art gallery and you're like, oh yeah, that's art. I know it's art because I can't do it. It looks amazing. and that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what I would say art is. You know, if I saw a sculpture or a painting, I'm like, well, I can't do it. It's art.
So is this art?
Yeah. I can do that. That's not art.
To you viewers out there who can't do this, art.
Yeah. And so I think that's why it's completely different for everyone. Because you look at the artist who created it, and then, like most artists, they're perfectionists, and they're like, oh, I see all the imperfection in it. I designed it to be this way, but I can see all the problems with it. I could see what I changed. I could have changed or improved on it. Same thing with a video game. Same thing with a book. Whereas the people who look on it, you know, that didn't actually create it, they're like, oh, I couldn't have created that. That's really amazing, you know. Mm. So I think it's perspective. It's still expression. But, you know, I think definitely video games are art. Whether or not the society accepts it for another 100 years, you know, that may happen. But
I think it also comes with maturity. I mean, if you look at all of us when we were young gamers back when, you know, we were all little kids, and we first started gaming, I'm pretty sure, you know, we wouldn't think that, I'm drawing a blank here. I'm trying to think of an old school game that would be considered artistic today in terms of its presentation, its story, or and anything like that. Like maybe even just a simple
Donkey Kong.
What?
Donkey Kong.
You could make an artistic story about that. Let's say, well, right, here's one. What about Link to the Past? I mean, that is pretty of an in-depth story considering if you really look at the legend of, okay, so, you know, Land of Hyrule, there was 7 wise men who had to seal this land because it was tempting everyone, you know, to come take the Triforce that laid within. Years pass, the legend goes down and all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. You all know the story. But you look at the art style, you listen to the music, and then you realize as you keep on going throughout the game, it just starts getting, the world just starts getting bigger. You don't think about that when you're a kid. You just want to beat it. You just want to go from point A to point B. You don't really take a step back from the game and look at it from both, from like all possible angles and see what it truly could be. And also when you look at the technical term of art, like even if you want to go to an artist, someone who can draw, I mean, another example, Zelda Skyward Sword, I believe, was done in an impressionistic art style. Someone had to be a concept artist and draw these entire backgrounds and land layouts and character designs and all this stuff in order to make it happen. It's not like they just give someone a coloring pencil and a steak and shake menu and had them go at it. You know, there are people with actual, you know, who have devoted their lives to do this kind of thing. So, yeah, I think that backs up even more that, yes, video games can be considered an art style because it takes artists, both, you know, sound, visuals, story, and everything to create it.
I think a lot of it, too, it gets difficult to accept when so many of the popular games in the media have to do with, like, shooters. Not that there's anything wrong with shooters, but if, say, you're someone who's never played video games and that's all you see through the popular media, it's kind of hard to say, oh, they're just going around pew, pew, pew. That's not art.
I wait for the day the game actually does that. You change the guns noise to pew, pew, pew.
I really think that's kind of why people have such an issue with video games, because when they think of video games or hear about video games, that's automatically what their mind goes to, is that they're sitting there with a control in their hand, shooting at people, and that's not the entirety of video games.
Uh-huh. I was talking to a good friend of ours, just knows him, Jesse Rubenmacher, I think to pronounce it. Anyways, he used to work for Activision, I think.
Really?
Anyways, yeah, now he's a university art teacher. And so I asked him, I came up and asked him, I was like, is video games art? And he said, yes. but there's a difference between high art and commercial art.
Mm.
And basically, to summarize that, commercial art is just art created for just like a magazine, just created just to show a product. And then high art is the actual intellectual art for a reason, or to show a feeling or produce some type of environment. So that's the big difference. And we started talking about Call of Duty, how Call of Duty nowadays is basically just a product that Activision is kicking out. Be like, oh, not is Activision? Yeah. But it's kicking out. There's a new Call of Duty game or a new Battlefield game or new whatever every year just to get out because it's so commercialized that now it's just basically commercial art. But he's like, there's still those high art games that actually do something new. Like he used, what was that game? Heavy Rain. He said it was a good example. He said you're striving for, he said that it's a pure narrative of a story in Heavy Rain. He's like, that made it art, was that story. Like to him, the good examples of video games that are art are something that do something different or strive to be something more than just shoot people or score a touchdown. Like Madden, I don't consider Madden art because it's just
right.
Similar to so.
And yet it took artists to do all the models and the textures for games like Call of Duty and Madden. But
what they're doing really, is art, but is what they find a product.
I was going to say, I like that definition of that being commercial art versus high art.
Yeah.
I think that's a healthier way to look at it.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was going to argue that even like Donkey Kong, the original arcade, could be considered art. Because up until then, the games really have a story. Then along comes Donkey Kong, and you got this short little video, the monkey climbing up a building with your girl that he kidnapped, smashes a couple buildings, makes a little noise, and already you've got the full story laid out, and you're like, that monkey must pay. You feel something, and you're driven, and you want to play this game. And like to me, that can be art because in such a short little bit of video, they establish all of that feeling for the player to have, and that motivation to play through it. Like to me, that's an art form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go on.
Overhead, James.
Well, no, real quick, something Jesse did say about commercial art. He says if it just looks pretty but doesn't make you think, it's commercial art.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think going along with Alex, you know, he mentioned an example of an older game as art. I think you can look at games like Mario Brothers and some of those original games where we hear and read interviews now where they're like, oh, the reason Mario had a mustache is so it looks like he has a face, you know. So I think some of the art form in some of the early video games and even the modern video games is pushing the creative limits, I guess. So, you know, in no matter what medium you're doing art in, there's always some limitation, right? So you're painting, you're using pastels, or you're using, you know, watercolors or something like that. There's always a limitation to what you can represent with the given medium that you're doing. But the fact that you try and make it look the best for that given medium, I think, shows art. You know, it shows you're expressing it to the fullest of that medium. So in the 8-bit era, Mario Brothers, you know, Kirby's Adventure, that was, you know, the ultimate expression of that medium at that time. So I think if you, like you said, James, you know, if it doesn't make you think, you know, then it's, you know, it may just be commercial art. But if they're really pushing the envelope and, you know, trying to innovate and do unique things with how the technology that we have to create the game worlds and the characters, I think that could be, you know, some of the highest form of art. Yeah. I don't know. And I think, you know, coming from a programming background, I think programmers, you know, are a whole part of that too. You've got sound, you've got visuals, and you've got programming, you know, that make up a whole game. So if anything, you've got more creative engineers, so to speak, than even a movie. So I think there's a lot of different ways to come at it, but I don't know. It's good.
Yeah, programmers always kind of get the shaft, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Video games are such complex things that we don't think about, you know, like how many if-then statements there are just to make something, like a little fetch quest work,
yep.
You know? And it's almost just like this complex machine, and if you look at it that way, just the complexity of it, this almost like art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very elegant sometimes how games progress. And I don't know, now, like when I play an RPG game, or, you know, like when you play a game and you talk to someone and then something else happens in the game. Like in a Zelda game, it's like, oh, I talked to this person, so now I can go to this island in Wind Waker. Or, I don't know, I just love that because it's just like I'm accessing, you know, exactly what the creators of the game, you know, designed, you know. So I think it's very cool to get in touch with that. But,
and I can't do it, so it's got to be art.
Yeah. See? So I think part of that goes into the definition there.
Amir, you were talking about, like, Alex, you were saying you kind of, you know, with Donkey Kong, there was a, you know, artistic meaning with that, and I totally see that. There was one, I remember a while back, I wrote this piece. It was this little blog thing back in the day, and it was how the saying, "I'm sorry, Mario, but the princess is in another castle," I actually used that phrase actually, like, as a metaphor for, completing the game, but also, you know, finding a relationship, like, you know, Mario going to there. It's like, what happens if you just give up after that? If Mario says, you know, I'm not going to go to Castle 2, or I'm not going to go to Castle 4, she's probably not going to be in there, the game's over. It's kind of like a deeper meaning of, you just got to keep going. Yeah, okay, maybe you work hard for something, and maybe, yeah, it didn't turn out the way you wanted to, or it kind of did, but you didn't get the results you wanted to. Well, there's something better waiting for you in the next castle, maybe, but you have to be willing to make that step.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no,
that's deep, man.
This shit's getting deep.
Yeah, I know, right? I may be a goofy person, but I got my moments.
It made me sad thinking of Mario just giving up before Castle 2.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
it hurts. Oh. Like, can't stop. Yeah. Anyway, when many toads are in the castles?
When I thought about this, I was like, what to me is art? And I thought about, I have a journalism background classes, and so I took a few art classes just because.
Ladies love a man who can do art.
Exactly. But, like, I had to go through museums in my lifetime. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, what to me was art when I was looking at it? And part of it was what Justin says, like, oh, man, that's impressive. I can't do that, but that looks really, really cool. But a lot of it had to make me feel emotion. Like, if I look at something and it was just an object, I'm like, well, that's a piece of crap. That's nothing to me. But, like, I look at something and go, wow, that's amazing. That's beautiful. That's kind of sad. Like, to me, that was art. And then going back to talking about Call of Duty, I absolutely love the first two Call of Duty movies. I mean, games. I said Duty twice.
Duty.
But anyway, the reason I love them is because they were so different and immersive into a war environment. Like, to me, they were one of the best war games of the time. I have a better Medal of Honor. And that's why I love them so much, because it's so immersive, made me feel feelings of the guys dying around me. I've lost that throughout the years. Now I don't know if I'm desensitized and just killing people just because they're in front of me.
That's because I haven't really tried to push it.
Exactly. Anybody, you know? And but I'm glad that Pikmin came out, because Pikmin's a great example to me of what is art, because it makes me feel for the Pikmin, like we were talking before the podcast. Like, you're Pikmin are drowning, you feel for it, you have that 10-second clock that happens, you're like, oh, crap, I got to get all my Pikmin back. Wait a minute, there's one missing. Where is he? And it's just the emotion you have with the Pikmin. To me, that is what the art of the game is. I don't feel that in a lot of games. And all of my favorite games, I felt a connection with the character or with the story.
And the game really makes you feel bad in Pikmin, especially if you leave them. I was playing Pikmin 3, and I thought, okay, I think maybe there's... I left 3 at sunset? No, I left, like, 25. And you just see them, like, running around going, where are you going, buddy? And then, or whatever happens to them. I just felt terrible. I think I went to the controller and went, I don't know if I can sleep tonight, man. They're all those little Pikmin ghosts. And what's worse is that in those games, like, I remember the first one, if there's, like, a night where you leave some behind, Olimar will stay in his journal. Like, some didn't make it back. The nocturnal creatures got them. You're like, oh, God, now you got to live with it. Unless you hit replay day, but no. My decision has been made. I can't go back now.
I think that's one thing video games have going for it that maybe that movies and books try to do. It's about creating that emotion and putting yourself within the main character's kind of footsteps, you know. Yeah. I think that's what all kind of... that kind of entertainment art goes for, like, movies and books.
Well, that's interesting. The Roger Ebert, that was kind of his
this against video games as art is that you play as someone, you win something, and to him that's not art because you're experiencing it, but it's you doing it. You're not having the experience put on you like in books or movies or paintings. For him, that was a reason why video games were not art, because you actually control the experience. If there's a goal, you finish, you win, whatever.
Well, you do the same thing with art. If you look at a piece of painting, you control how you feel. You control if you're going to be emotionally touched, or you're going to control if you're like, and it's just someone just had fun on a canvas and went crazy with it. Or is Mona Lisa really smiling? I don't know how to feel about it.
Why is that guy screaming on the road?
Yeah, really? Is there something? Is he screaming at me? Is there something scary in front of him? Or did he did he leave the restaurant and go, oh crap, I left my wallet, and not just freaking out about or something like that?
Maybe he just really likes Home Alone.
Or maybe. Or what if he just has to go to the bathroom bed? Like, oh god, it's gonna happen. He's doing like the dance running around.
Well, I would argue that what you said about the experiences being forced upon you, it's like you're playing through it and there's still so many variables to a game that you can't control. Mm-hmm. Because we could all play the same exact copy of Pikmin 3, but each one of us will have a completely different experience because there are so many different variables that you cannot control. So each and every single one of us is going to have a unique experience. That's meaningful to us.
Right.
So that I would discredit that argument about it being forced upon you with that.
A good example, Super Metroid. Spoiler for anyone who's never played it. One, if you haven't played it, shame on you. At the end when you're fighting Mother Brain and the Metroid comes and starts attacking, starts healing you, and you're kind of like, okay, I've got enough health, you can just leave, and then it just gets killed right then. You wanted to save that Metroid, but the game kind of took that ability out from took it out of your control. It's like, nope, he's dead. He's going to happen. And if you're still going to video games, this is outside of Nintendo, but in Final Fantasy VII, when Aerith dies, she got stabbed. Okay, but throughout the game, your characters died multiple times. Give her a Phoenix down. The end. They live. You couldn't do that this time. Or something along those lines. Like, there's just some things that you want to change, but you can't. Therefore, it puts you even more emotionally involved. It takes that ability away from you.
Mm-hmm. Why couldn't you use a Phoenix down?
I cut you off, by the way, sorry.
Yeah, I like the randomness sometimes makes games fun, and I think that can also make it more of an art form. It's a different experience for everybody, so I think that's a good point to something that's art. Maybe some people will be like, oh yeah, I agree with what you thought about that painting. I thought the same thing, but I think for the most part, it touches people in a different way, completely unique, because everybody's unique. And so, yeah, I think that's a good point with games. We're always going to beat a boss a little bit differently or take a little bit longer.
I got a perfect example of it. Mm-hmm. Skyward Sword. Mm-hmm. I beat Demise without realizing that you were supposed to hold your sword up and get lightning and shoot at him. Yeah. I didn't do that, and I didn't know that.
No, I did the exact same thing, Alex, and Katie was playing through the game a couple months later, and she's like, how do you beat him? And I was like, oh, you just, what's going on? And so then I was like doing the lightning thing. I was like, what in the world? This is a completely different boss fight.
Yeah, exactly.
But like I beat him so fast, and that's what it kind of threw me off. I was like,
because it was really challenging without doing that, because you'd have to like get close and do a fancy backflips to open himself up, and you could get like one hit in.
Yeah.
If you were maybe two, if you were really fast before he'd shock you. Yeah. It was really challenging.
Yeah.
And then I watched somebody else play it, so I was like, there's gotta be something I'm missing. And I was like, and then I played it that way.
Or an Ocarina of Time, when you're doing the Battle of Ganondorf, most of us probably use our Master Swords, while some other people, probably J-Money, you seem like the type that do this. Oh, I'm just going to use my bottle. Smack. Smack. Oh, I said it right back at him. Ain't that special?
Well, I walk right underneath his legs. Instead of rolling around him, you can just walk right underneath him.
I did that too. I always did that. Or my personal favorite in that battle, when he's Ganondorf and he's doing the big attack with both hands in the air. I figured this out as a kid. I was like, wait, both those hands are in the air. maybe he can't get him with a lighter. Oh, it worked!
Yes.
Or did any of you guys use the hover boots?
No, because those are too slick, man. Ice mechanics, bro.
Use the hover boots, and you can get to the middle, the center, quicker to slash them with your sword.
Really? I always hookshotted them.
I didn't even know you could do that. That's crazy.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, because I would hookshot to him, and then I would hookshot on the window, and it'd take you back.
I think my favorite, though, is using the
mind blown
fishing pole in Twilight Princess.
Oh, yeah, we're just... Ooh, yeah.
Just the bewildered look on his face. Yeah, that was priceless. It's like, what the heck are you doing?
They didn't have those when I was here.
Yeah.
He's like, where'd you get that lure? What?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just like slowly moving it. It's like a cat.
Yeah.
come on.
Hey, quit it.
And then you say a funny pun like, hey, you know what this is? Here's the hook, here's the line, and there's the sinker. Yeah.
That's right.
And then when I beat him, I go, it looks like we got fish out of water. I start walking up, I say, put on my sunglasses.
And that's why video games are art.
Yeah. We need those sunglasses that go deal with it.
Yes.
Deal with it, Roger Ebert. I know you're dead now, but
one more quote that stood out from that his piece was, no one in or out of the field has been able to cite a game worthy of comparison to the great poets, Phil Mankle's novelist, or the poets twice. What a dummy.
Discredited.
But that is a good question. What game would you put up there with some of the greatest movies of all time, some of the greatest novels of all time, some of the greatest poems of all time? What game do you give that honor to?
RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars.
Was it even fair to compare two different types of art like that? I mean,
what was your favorite movie of all time?
You're asking the wrong person, because I think things like Home Alone and Jurassic Park are masterpieces.
Asking the wrong person. I'm joking.
Dude, Beverly Hills Chihuahua, come on. Cinema classic.
George Lopez is my hero.
What's
the movie with the red wagon? I just ruined the end of the movie. Anyways, it's an old classic.
Avatar.
Don't speak that.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Avatar The Last Airbender. Sorry.
No. That's the one I was thinking of, and it makes me sad inside.
Yeah, not the movie.
That was horrible.
Are you talking about Citizen Kane, James?
Yes, Citizen
Kane. That's a great movie.
So what would you consider the Citizen Kane of video game world?
You guys never played the Super Nintendo version of Citizen Kane? Come on.
Someone should make that.
That also sounds like the worst video game ever.
And to our viewers out there, if you can make the box art for Super Nintendo Citizen Kane,
do it.
You'd be our heroes forever.
We'll feature that in the art section of the magazine.
Yeah. We'll see what we can do about actually getting it printed and made into a box.
Yeah.
Are you talking about out of our own personal collections or games?
Yeah, what would you consider a game you played, like Citizen Kane?
Anything
from the last 20.
I've never seen Citizen Kane.
It's kind of hard to choose because it's like, you know, most people would just choose something from the early days. Oh, Super Mario Brothers, that's the one, you know, just because it kind of started a lot. But I don't know. I think probably the best example of being immersed in a game and getting lost in the art style and the gameplay, I think, was probably Metroid Prime. And that's a fairly recent game. I mean, I guess it is older than 10 years now. But
game is so good.
But I think that was a really, really good just example of doing everything pretty amazingly. And, you know, like there's other games too. Like I would say Chrono Trigger is probably up there pretty high.
Ooh, yeah.
There's something about Chrono Trigger that, just even the graphics that they had at that time was really good. The storyline, the
music,
different endings, the gameplay, I mean – Chrono Trigger, I'd say, is just one of those ultimate games, you know.
I'm going to say Earthbound, too. Just because...
I need to get back in on it.
Play through it, and you'll understand. There's something about that. All the characters are very personable and accessible by anybody. You can put yourself into that position so easily. It's just, you know, you're not like a wizard or a knight. You're just a kid with a baseball bat.
I thought it was so cool at the beginning how it asked you all those questions like, what's your favorite food? What's your favorite hobby? I was like, why does it care?
Yeah, because it deliberately...
It puts you in that position. It's like, oh, that is my favorite thing kind
of
thing.
And it makes you an active part of it. And there's even, I won't spoil too much for you, but there's even like a part at the end that kind of incorporates that. So look forward to that when you finish it. But,
so I said my favorite food is pie. Is the villain going to go, you could defeat me or have a delicious piece of pie?
just wait till you get to the final battle. Yep. You're going to be in for a treat. That's for sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna go real recent here, and I'm gonna say Monster Hunter because those games are epic as far as like story, the scale of the game, the art that's in the game as far as like the characters and
story.
I think they're amazing games.
I didn't realize there's a story to Monster Hunter. I thought it was just the monster go hunt it. I'm gonna say for me. In terms of recent games, in terms of you know, immersion, like really getting me into there, kind of like, okay, I really got to do this. It really pulled me in was Skyward Sword, actually. Wow. And I think it was simply the relationship between Link and Zelda and how Zelda wasn't this cold, heartless woman that we got from Twilight Princess. She was this, you know, Link's childhood friend, this really sweet, innocent girl who got equally thrown into this as much as Link did. And just how imperative it was to save her, and that you were just one step behind her every time. And I thought, maybe this next place I'll get, and you know, I'll finally get to talk to her. It's like, oh, she left again. Okay, well, maybe this next place I'll finally get to do something. Nope, she's gone. Okay. You know, it was kind of that whole, like, it kept going, like, okay, maybe next time it'll be different than the previous one.
Yeah, I like the pacing in that one. That was really good.
Same here. And also, the way just Link, I don't know if emotes is a word, like Link, the way Link's emotions, I think, really projected pretty well. Mm-hmm. That is probably the best emotion projection scene in the Zelda game. Near Wind Waker. Wind Waker was probably one of the top, though.
Mm-hmm. I think my vote for Citizen Kane at video games, now that I think about it more, would have to be Majora's Mask.
Ooh,
not for the actual gameplay itself, but for the fact that it literally threw you into like this world and you cared so deeply about the NPCs of the world because they acted so realistically to like what that situation would be like, that like impending doom. Like, you know, even the whole like cafe and Andrew side quest, like when I completed that and they finally got together like 5 minutes before they died, it's like I cried a little bit. It was manly tears. I mean, like, it truly made you feel and care for these, especially the computer programs, you know.
I felt the same way, Alex. But then I looked over to the left and went, hey, look, there's a treasure chest. 100 rupees? Yeah, you guys will be fine. You got 5 minutes left. And yeah, I'm just going to my tourist bank account.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I don't think video games is quite done for me. Like, there's some movies that I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I've actually cried. But there hasn't been a game where I've had that's been so moving
that I've had tears in my. There's only been two for me. There's Majora's Mask and the final battle for Mother 3, which I played in the original Japanese because I'm a nerd. That was. Yeah, I'm a big Mother fan.
But that's one thing video games hasn't done for me the whole time I've. You know.
I'm sorry. Played. I was just thinking of you. No, I realized you were talking about this emotional thing. I'm laughing. What it was is that he says he loves Mother, and all I thought was, he's a mother lover. I'm a mother lover.
That's it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
I'm sorry, Alex. I'm sorry. But I just realized something, guys. One thing about art, I think that we kind of forgot, was symbolism. Symbolism. Because he was talking about Majora's Mask, and one thing I realized that was so great about that game was when you go back in time, you lose all your rupees, your arrows, and bombs. but you keep the mask, which are just mementums of, I guess, one's heart, one's spirit, or what you've done to someone, how you've touched them, how you've helped them out in the time they needed it most. Again, what was it also defined in art was something that can emote to someone that can, you know, cause some kind of emotion to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it right there.
Yeah.
Is when we realize the deeper meaning to some of these things. Like, the Majora's Mask, or your princess is in another castle or something like that. It's those kind of things that, you know, they really do make you think of, you know, well, why are these things special from the rest of the game? Why didn't I lose the mask when I went back, you know, 3 days? Technically, it could have been gone, but no, they stuck with you.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is an interesting point, going back to your deep point of Mario and your Princess in Another Castle, is that's what made Mario great. Yeah, it was one of the first great platformers, but it was that our need to find the princess. We get to the end of the castle, and we're like, oh, crap, she's not there. I guess she's in another castle. And if we didn't have that need or that feeling of, hey, we need to save this princess, even though we had no clue who she was, like, I don't think the game would have been as great. For me, it wouldn't. It was just like, hey, you got to the end of the level. Well, here's another level. Go on. But no, it was a need to find the princess that drove probably a lot of people to keep playing.
Right, and especially if you defeat the fake Bowser in each castle, like if you defeat it by, you know, touching the axe, as far as you know, that was Bowser.
Yeah.
Or like expecting King Koopa, and then you go in the next room, it's not. But it's that great mystery to it all.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe each castle's representation, you know, that not, you know, that she's not here, maybe that was like an ex-girlfriend or something, and you keep going until you find that eighth castle.
Seven deadly sins you must defeat.
For the eighth one, the charm.
Well, that, yeah, then you get married and then you do the second quest, which is a lot more difficult because then that's when things get hardcore.
what's three, having babies?
Having
a family?
Well, two is just a dream. Maybe that was. God. I got to think about this. So the warp whistle is kind of like the, and the warp zone is like the, I don't think this could be appropriate. I can't think of a way. Man, now I want to like go like look through my games and like, you know, try to find a game that I wouldn't see as artistic, but like try to pop in and try to find an artistic meaning to each game.
If they need a video game appreciation class in college. Like, I'm not sure some of us took like movie appreciation where you had to dissect movies, pull out different aspects. They should do that with video games. I think that'd be cool class.
Or a section in the magazine.
Yeah.
This is where I feel lucky, because when I did my game design courses at SCAD, I actually got to take a history of video games class, which was pretty much like a video game appreciation.
Oh, yeah?
And day one, sit us down. We're not doing any notes. We're going to roll some characters for D&D.
Nice.
And, oh my gosh, that class was a blast. Anyone curious, I made a thief, and because I'm lame, I named him Pilfer.
And he was a what? Pilfer. Pilfer. Okay, I see what you did there. Far too clever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's this really interesting, I wish I had it. I have a history of video games coffee table book that I wish I knew the title of it, because I would tell people to go and look it up on Amazon, because it's a great read and it's truly amazing, especially to see some of the earlier stuff like the Tennis for Two and Space Wars, just how far we've come. And even just looking at that, you know, you can convince yourself like this is an art form.
Is the word ultimate in it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's got a picture of Pac-Man on it, and look at that chick who was always on, like, I think it was like the EverQuest games. Something like that.
I'm looking through it right now, see if I can find it. I found one. It's called The Ultimate History of Video Games. Got Pac-Man on it, but I don't think it's it. I don't think those are the drawers you're reading.
To wrap everything up, I want to ask this question, but I think I know the answer to. Is anyone playing anything besides Pikmin?
Yes.
What do you play?
I'm playing Mario and Luigi. Dream Team.
I hate you. What am I playing? You guys want to know what I played today? You don't.
You can see it on the site.
Yeah. You can see what Tristan played today.
I've been playing some Super Mario RPG Legend of Seven Stars because it may or may not be, hint hint, the next retro review, maybe.
Oh, I found it. I'm sorry.
High score, history of electronic games.
Thanks for stealing my thunder. But yeah, that's it. High score, the illustrated history of electronic games, second edition. If you're interested about video games and how they got started, anybody's watching, it's a really, really cool book. Definitely worth a read. And that was our textbook for the history of video games class, so that was pretty darn epic.
Nice.
Yeah. But I highly recommend it. Very cool.
Other than Pikmin 3, I've been playing a little bit of New Leaf as well as a ton of Cloudberry Kingdom.
Oh, really nice.
I still got to get on this Animal Crossing business.
Do it.
But I'm worried that it's just going to like really consume my life. I'm worried it's going to get really
bad. It will.
Bad.
It will.
And you're going to be okay with it. Yeah. You have to reset your town over and over again until you get oranges for your main fruit so I can come over and steal some. That's the only thing I have to ask.
I have one.
James has everything in his town. Yeah. He's got all sorts of fruits.
Invite me over, man.
I'll let you know next time I grow, because I think I just picked them. But I'll let you know next time, and I'll save you some.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, James has got it all in his town.
Oh, mine's pretty darn
I'm
epic.
The type of person, did you guys save all your fossils at first? Like, if it was a new fossil, a new bug, or anything, I always took it to the museum. So my museum is very much built up.
Well, mine's really built up, and I'm always finding new things. I'm like, seriously, I want to sell some of this stuff.
What's sad is I've played the game so extensively, I have to wait for the fall and winter fish to come in, because I've caught everything. Like, everything.
There's just nothing left in the water anymore.
There's nothing left for me to do in Animal Crossing. I'm addicted.
Actually, earlier, instead of Mario RPG, my buddy Bradley, he came over and we beat Goof Troop for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, nice. Good old Capcom.
That's
such a good game. James, what have you been playing?
Spin the Bottle.
That is the game, like the...
The game. Spin the Bottle, something.
But Bumpy's Party.
Yeah, Bumpy's Party.
That's not helping the title.
I know. I can't talk about that game without giggling.
I know what we're all going to play next time we all hang out.
Yeah.
That's at the end of my review. I'm like, hey, maybe next time the Punitive staff comes over, we've got something to play.
I can't wait.
It's a good team building or team.
It is a very good
team building.
There we go.
Oh, sure, let's call it that.
Yeah.
Team building.
Yeah.
We'll never
come around each other again if we haven't already.
On a less creepy note, I'm playing Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask, and I'm playing Shantae for the Virtual Console. That's pretty cool because that game's like $300 on eBay, and now I got
so good at it.
You got it.
For like $5, and I'm like, yay. Or $7 or something like that. But it's a lot of fun. I like it.
I absolutely love the chiptunes in that game.
Yes. Oh, they did such a good job with that.
Mm. I wonder if Shantae could possibly be a new character in Smash Brothers.
That'd be cool.
Well, it's third party, so like we can hope.
Which point?
There's one thing I want to end with is I was reading the tweeters, the Twitter field tweets after Pikmin 3 came out to see what everyone's reaction was. And one person was like, oh, this is a great game. It's just too bad this was my first Wii U game I bought since launch. And I'm like, what have you been doing with your life? there hasn't been a lot of Wii U games, but it's still been a lot of great ones. Monster Hunter, Lego City. Anything? Yeah.
Not Turbo.
Yeah.
It is angering me. I'm like, it's your fault. It's your fault you didn't buy a Wii U game since. Well,
seriously.
You know, there hasn't been a ton, but there's been great Wii U games out there.
Yeah.
Need for Speed, something. Go.
Resident Evil Revelations, I enjoyed it.
There have been a lot of good games that have come out on the console. And I think the problem is that people focus, I don't know, because I'm the type of gamer that, like, I'll play pretty much anything. But then there's some people where they're like, I'm specifically looking for either this game or this type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they buy a console for one game or one type of game.
Right.
But they don't buy it to experience new types.
Everything else.
Yeah. Well, I realized that when we tweeted that, show us your Wii U collection, one guy I counted had almost 1.5 Wii U games to every month the Wii U's been out. And to myself, I was like, do you need to play more than 1.5 Wii U games a month? Like, what? You have a 3DS you can play, you've got other game consoles. Like, to me, that seems like a fair amount for a launch system, at least one point. Like, he bought. Like, he didn't have every other game, so it could be, I don't know how many Wii U games there is compared to the launch. But he had, personally, 1.5.
And you think about all the eShop games, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's gonna, I think people just like to nitpick.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to be picking up a PS4 for Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 15, but I plan to try out everything else along the way.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I guess that's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us.
One more thing. One more thing.
Oh, God.
I promise my shirt will stay on this time.
Thank you.
So, to our viewers out there, do you like Pure Nintendo? You must, because you're watching this. We're still doing a one-year free subscription of our digital edition of the magazine.
Is he reading a script?
Yeah. Is that in this part?
Who wrote that script?
It looks like he's trying to.
Then do Taz hands.
Tell the prompter.
Yeah. But yeah, we are still doing that one-year awesome subscription.
Yes, subscribe.
Yes, go pick it up.
Tell your friends.
Tell your grandparents.
Just subscribe your friends. Don't even tell them.
You know their email address.
Just email addresses and put them in.
And they will thank you later.
They will.
They will. I'll
make sure they thank you.
All right. Thanks for joining us.